may be seated. On behalf of the congregation here at Gates Presbyterian Church, we welcome you this sixth day of August to remember, to celebrate, to witness the resurrection and the life of John McMahon. A few announcements as we begin this afternoon. This is a good time, if you have not already done so, to check those cell phones. Please make sure they are either off or on vibrate. The deacons here and the family would like to invite everyone to a time of fellowship in the very well air-conditioned fellowship hall down the hallway here following the service. A note, though, about the end of the service. Following the Masonic service, we will be piped out these doors and here to the memorial garden for the interment. And if your mobility allows, we would welcome you to that time. It'll just be a few moments, but the ground is a bit uneven, so wanted to warn you about that. And you are welcome also just to head down to Fellowship Hall. I'll remind everyone again at the end of the service. And now let us worship God and hear these words from Scripture. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. We are together today to remember and to offer back to God the life of John McMahon, and to thank God for the hope we have because of Christ's resurrection. Please join me in a time of prayer. Eternal God, our help in every time of trouble, send your Holy Spirit to comfort and strengthen us, that we may have hope of life eternal and trust in your goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed responsively in your bulletin. May God live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May the Lord be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. May our songs sing of the goodness of God. With humble adorations we proclaim, how great thou art.
Thank you.
seated. Our first reading of the Word this afternoon comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, and here to share God's Word with us is John's granddaughter, Julia.
There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and time to mend, a time to be silent and time to speak, a time to love and time to hate, a time for war and time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him, already been, and what will have been before, and God will call the past to account.
Amen. Our second reading of the Word found in the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, the women went to Jesus' tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So the women went out, fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God. Unfortunately, John and I have been together, especially lately, for too many funerals, for friends and family. And he pulled me aside a few months ago and said, "Melissa, when it's my time, make sure there's laughter." I said, "John, I'll make sure there's laughter." So I begin with an opening reflection from a humorist and author who wrote about learning to speak French in Paris. And he was in a class of other non-French speakers, and the topic was the holidays, and the assignment was to talk about Easter using their very meager vocabularies. And the teacher asked, "Would anyone like to tell us what one does on Easter?" And the Moroccan student interrupted, "Excuse me, but what's an Easter?" Well, the Polish folks led the charge to the best of their ability. It is a party for the little boy of God, who call himself Jesus. And then he be die one day on two morsels of lumber. He weared long hair after he died, and first day he come back and say hello to peoples. The Italians took over from that point. Easter is a party to eat of the lamb. One, too, may eat of the chocolate. The author didn't talk about the Scottish folk, but I am going to guess there would be more about food to describe the holiday. And the author continues to explain that part of the problem had to do with the vocabulary. Simple nouns such as cross and resurrection were beyond our grasp. Faced with the challenge of explaining the cornerstone of Christianity, we did what any self-respecting group of people might do. We talked about food. I get that. The food part and the challenge about preaching the cornerstone of Christianity that has literally filled libraries with nouns and adjectives that are beyond our grasp. This is also true about death and grief and the new life offered to us in Christ through the good news of the resurrection. We don't know what to say, but we know there'll be food, which was something that always made John very happy. When someone dies, well-meaning people often ask, "How are you doing?" And it's difficult to provide words in the moment. And even looking back, folks don't always remember what was said at the funeral or who was there during calling hours. But people have different associations with that numbness of grief and those very basic sensory feelings. For some, it is the food, the casseroles that arrived, or that last meal shared together. For others, it's the scent of the flowers in the funeral home. Or on a day like today, perhaps the sun shining and warming our skin as we walk from the parking lot into the church. And these are how the moments are captured by the women who visited the tomb of Jesus 3 days after his death. The smell of the spices that they brought to anoint the body. The feeling of the warm sun as it crested over the horizon, the insurmountable size of the stone and their grief, both too heavy to move. And they had no idea what to do or what to say about Jesus' death, or that he might now be alive. And so they flee in terror and amazement. Bishop Will Willimon reminds us that although we are frail, moral, finite human beings, and we are totally inadequate in our words and deeds in the face of death, God, the one who created and gives life, is determined to be the creator and giver of life, even in death. Because Jesus is raised, we are bold to believe that we also shall be raised. And so we gather this afternoon to not only support one another in grief, but to display boldness in our believing that John experiences new life in Christ. So we are here to celebrate, to share in the stories that make us cry, stories that also bring us joy. We remember John Keegan McMahon, born on June 2nd in 1932 in Govan, Scotland, to George and Catherine McMahon. John was one of five children, sharing in childhood memories with siblings Bill and Neely, Mary and George. Now this wee lass had his eyes set on a young lassie who already had a boyfriend, mind you. But John won the heart of his precious Mary Violet, and they were married for more than 55 years. Now, as many from Scotland did during the tough economic times, John and Vi set out to the U.S. and they both spent their careers working for Kodak. John was a soft-spoken, mild-mannered, hard-working, kind, and gentle soul. Anyone who knew his genuine, welcoming hugs, I always look forward to them when he was here in worship. And his daughter-in-law, Lori, talked about the first time Scott brought her home to meet his parents. And though it was difficult at first to understand what was going on through the Scottish brogue, the language of love was spoken clearly in the McMahon household. And John loved spoiling his grandchildren, spending time with them, listening to them talk about their lives. And those eyes of his would dance and sparkle anytime he talked about the two of them. John loved his family and his friends here at Gates Presbyterian Church, the Masonic Temple, and with the Tartan Square Club. In a few moments, we will be singing the familiar words of the hymn, Amazing Grace. And that last verse, that fifth verse, is not original to the hymn, but in my opinion, a beautiful addition. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And singing them today, we will remember John, who any chance he got would find his way out to the sunshine. Perhaps from growing up in Scotland or spending too many blustery Rochester winters here, but John would chase that sunshine out into his yard when it peeked from the clouds and head to Florida any chance he got for some extended exposure. Even when there are no words for our grief in saying goodbye to our father, grandfather, and friend, may we sing God's praise for the life of John McMahon, who indeed shone bright like the sun. And to share a bit more about John's life is Alan Mason.
Well, you read that just exactly as I wrote it. That's very good. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alan Mason, and John was my uncle. And thank you for being here today. I've been to too many of these events recently, but I'm here to help celebrate the life of my uncle. Unfortunately, I have neither the eloquence nor wit that Mr. Mackay had, or that Mr. Gallagher continues to have, but I will surely endeavor to do my best. I remember when I first met Uncle John. He and my Aunt Violet were just emigrating to the USA. My parents, my brother, and I drove down to New York to pick them up in a green 1952 Oldsmobile with no air conditioning in the middle of August. Have a nice day. I think on the way back, we even stopped in Kearny, New Jersey to get some meat pies, too. I think that's the only place you could get them then. They eventually lived in the house next to ours, and the Mackays lived above them on Violetta Street just off of Plymouth Avenue. So we had our own little Scottish compound. I've had reason to go back into that neighborhood in the past few years, and both of those houses are gone due to some urban blight. But at least the lion rampant roared there for a little while. He and my aunt quickly embraced all the area had to offer. Uncle John joined the Clan MacNaughton and played in their pipe band as a drummer for many years. He enjoyed playing some soccer until he tore his ACL and figured he was too old to keep playing, but he kept fit by refereeing, and he enjoyed that. Finger Lakes was also one of his hobbies, so I guess he could say he had his own hobby horses. He and my aunt enjoyed vacations to Florida and Scotland and eventually bought a timeshare in Florida so they could spend more time there. They lived life to the fullest, enjoying every minute. His house was always a go-to place, whether it was the 4th of July, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, birthday parties for the grandkids. Everyone and anyone was welcomed with open arms and great hospitality. I do truly miss all that. When I was a young man, probably newly out of the Navy, just starting my life, I was talking with my father. For those of you who don't know my father, he was an old school type where rules were rules and they weren't meant to be broken. And the conversation somehow involved a Masonic meeting or some such thing. And he said, "You know, I can't ask you to join." I said, "Okay. Tell me a little bit about the Masons. What do they do?" "I can't tell you." "Aha, another reason to join." Yeah. That's the original. We need to pass this legislation before we find out what's in it. Just a little political humor. Then why would I join if I don't know anything about it? He said, "Look at the people who are Masons and see how they live their lives and how they handle themselves. See the kinds of people they are, and if you would like to be like one of them, then ask one of them if you could become a Mason." Well, the conversation never went any farther than that, and I did not become a Mason. But in later years, I think I have come to regret that a little bit, because all the people that I know who were Masons were honorable, decent, upstanding people in society and their communities. Oh, not without fault or foible. Oh, Lord, no. But with a firm feeling for family, faith, and fellowship. Uncle John was one of those men. His family, Violet, Scott, Lori, Mackenzie, and Julia, came first. He was one of those men. He and my Aunt Violet worshiped in this church, renewed their wedding vows here, and he became a deacon here. He was one of those men. If anyone needed a helping hand or someone to talk to, he was there to give whatever help or comfort he could. He was one of those men. So I salute my Uncle John not only as a loving husband, father, and grandfather, but I salute him also as a Mason. And I salute all the other Masons present here today. In the 3 years since my Aunt Violet died, in fact, it's almost 3 years to the day when Uncle John passed, he's had a difficult road to hoe. He never complained and was in good spirits generally, but he was no longer whole. Something was missing. I assure you now, he is whole once again. Farewell, Uncle John. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your friendship. And for being part of my life.
Amen. Please join with me in a time of prayer. O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all your beloved children, who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. Especially we thank you for your son, John. We praise you for the gift of his life, for all in him that was good and kind and faithful, for the grace you gave him that kindled in him love for you and his family. Thank you for John's commitment to his family, his special love of his wife, Vi, for their marriage. And we seek comfort knowing they are together again with you. We give you thanks for the wisdom and love living on in their son, Scott, his wife, Lori, the joy and memories they shared with their grandchildren, Julia and Mackenzie. Hold and sustain the McMahon family. We thank you today that for John, pain has ended and that he has now entered the joy you have prepared. May he at last know peace and healing. Holy God, redeem all pain and make vivid all good memories Let them all be at peace in the power of your redeeming love. Lift heavy sorrow and give them all good hope in Jesus, so that they may bravely walk their earthly way and look forward to glad reunion in the life to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are going to stand and sing together all five verses of Amazing Grace, and the pipes will begin to play following the last verse. After the pipes have stopped, please do sit down as the Masonic service begins. Let us sing of God's grace.
My brothers and friends, we're here to bid goodbye to our brother John. Let us console ourselves with these brief words of understanding and comfort. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to thy will. Passing through the valley of weeping, they turn to a fountain of strength. Yes, into a rain shower abundant with blessing. They go on from strength to strength, until each appeareth before thee in Zion. They shall come with mourning, but I will lead them with tender mercy. I will turn their weeping into joy. I will comfort them and make them rejoice after their sorrow. My brothers and friends, in keeping with the custom of free and accepted Masons, we are united in this moment of sorrow to bid farewell to our brother John. It is well that we pause to ask God's blessings upon us, for only in Him can we find strength and hope. Let us pray. So would it be. Our brother became a free and accepted Mason on October 12, 1964, in Charlotte Corinthian Lodge number 1088. He left our earthly family to unite with the heavenly family on July 26, 2015. While we mourn his loss from our fraternal fellowship, we rejoice that we are citizens of two worlds. He has preceded us and has joined our host of brethren in that other world, where God, who is the Father and Master of us all, awaits His coming. Always when we stand in the presence of death, we are tempted to ask the question, as did the prophet of old, if a man die, shall he live again? How empty our lives would be if there was no answer to this question. But God, in His infinite mercy, has given us the greatest gift of all, the promise to dwell in our hearts when we diligently seek Him. And from that depth within each of us, we have always found the faith that sustains us, even in the darkest and most difficult of moments. So we can say with certainty that just as surely as the questions of fear and doubt arise in our minds, so comes the assurance that life does not end with death. Our Masonic belief bears testimony that man is a citizen of two worlds, that only eternity can fulfill the dreams and hopes and ideals within each of us, that a lifetime on earth is not enough, that God in His infinite wisdom has plans far beyond our comprehension, plans that could not end in death. This faith sustains us and helps dispel the fears that surround us in death. Because our brother John was a Mason, we know that this was his belief. The immortality of the soul was a part of his spiritual vocabulary. He walked, worked, and lived against the background of eternity. He believed that the God who created him and sustained him in life would not abandon him in death. This white apron is known as the lambskin. It is the badge of a Mason. Its whiteness served to remind our departed brother John of the innocence and purity of a righteous life. It reminds us that our brother's earthly labors are finished. He has laid aside the working tools of life. May the record of our lives and actions be as pure and spotless as this fair emblem, which will now be placed near the urn. This sprig of acacia is the emblem of our faith in the immortality of the soul. The evergreen leaves are symbolic of the conviction that life will continue to flourish even after death, and that one day we shall be united in the house of many mansions, eternal in the heavens. The sprig of acacia will now be placed near the urn. Let us pray.
So let it be.
To you, the immediate family, friends, and relatives of our departed brother, we extend our deepest sympathy. We cannot fill the emptiness in your hearts. We can only urge that you turn to God, who alone can give you the strength to sustain you in this hour. Believe that there is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. And sing with the psalmist. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God grant you peace and keep you under his wing. There is no death. What we call death is but a sudden change. Because we know not where it leads, therefore it doth seem strange. There is no death. What we call death is but a lasting sleep. They wake not soon to slumber so. Therefore we mourn, we weep. There is no death. What we call death is but surcease from strife. They do not die whom we call dead. They go from life to life. We close this service with those familiar and comforting words from the Bible. Let us pray. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
So mote it be.
I have apologies from our president of the Tartan Square Club, Fraser. He's away on holiday and he couldn't make it this afternoon. So they decided to ask someone who doesn't have a brogue to say something on his behalf, and I knew you'd like that, Scott. I knew you'd like that, yeah. This is the only time I ever get to say it, but anyhow. The to deviate for a little minute, we have the master, and we have the secretary of the lodge, and I'm sure a petition will be upcoming for you to join the Masons. You were never too old. And we say solemnly, we take a good man and make him better. So how much better can you get? But anyhow, I was asked to say a few words on behalf of Fraser, who wasn't here. Fraser's pretty good on getting up and ad-libbing. I'm trying. We'll get over this, but anyhow. Your dad was a good man, a good Mason, and a good member of the Taunton Square Club. He was the kind of guy who didn't want to be in the front for any particular reason, but when called upon, he knew he had to do it. And one of his joys, I believe, was we still hold a Taunton Square Club Ladies' Night once a year, and we hold the Robbie Burns Night once a year. And we always used to ask John and Andy Shields to take care of the raffle tickets. And of course, he made a big job of it, you know. Don't want to do it. But at the end of the evening, when we tallied up all the money we made, which we gave all away to, what's that word on here?
Charity.
That is one good word, charity. But anyhow, we'd collect the money, and then, like, first meeting of the year, we would decide amongst the club members what charity we'd give the money away to. And I think that made everybody a little bit better, knowing that whatever money we're taking in, we're giving out. And we've given out a lot of money. I don't know how many years John is a member of the club. More years than me. And I think they possibly, whoever decided to let me speak on behalf of John, maybe it was because I'm the same age as John. Two good-looking guys, but he had more hair than me, you know. And when you think back of times, there was one instance, I would imagine it was after a meeting, and John said to me, he says, "You know," he says, "I was a heck of a swimmer." I said, "You're too short to swim, you know." "Oh," he said, I used to swim for the squadron," he said, "when I think he was in the Air Force, when he was in the Air Force." I said, "Yeah?" He said, "I volunteered for the squad." I said, "You join the Army, you join the Navy, you join anywhere, you don't volunteer." But John had something up his sleeve. He knew all the cooks by volunteering to swim. But anyhow, the second Thursday of last month, we were at Dad's house for a meeting of the Taunton Square Club. Dad was one heck of a poker player. He loved to play poker, and he was a good poker player. But he always liked to win, and which he did most of the time. He liked to play poker, and he loved his glass of beer. Always remember. But anyhow, we were at the meeting, and there were only six of us present. One had to leave early, and a typical meeting night would be we'd get rid of all the whatever we were going to say in the first 10 minutes. Then we sit down and drink and play cards. That was the way the meeting went. So anyhow, this last meeting, unfortunately, there were only six of us, one left early, and we didn't get to play cards. I was glad because he would have won anyway, but I mean, that's besides the point. And so we didn't play cards. But we finished off the evening in a very unusual manner, I think. Never anywhere was it like that night in your dad's house. We started to talk about the old comics we had when kids, the Dandy, the Beano, the Hotspur, and all from the old country. And then we started to talk about what we used to do part-time and what to fill in time. And of course there was no television, we just had the radio. So we'd be bartering ourselves, that, remember how this was? Remember how that was? Yeah, all of it. I think we lied a little bit and stretched the truth just to get a better story out, you know. But anyhow, we had a fabulous evening. I don't think Dad was sick. He never complained. But Dad was longing to be somewhere else. God bless him. He's there right now. Thank you.